My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so happy to be with you today. Today, I'm kicking it old school. I am not at home. I forgot my mic. So I'm recording on my iPhone. So shout out to Dell, who will be making this sound presentable to y'all. But in case the audio is very different, just wanted to let y'all know that is the case. So today we are talking about three archetypes of love addiction, maybe four, but for sure three. When I say archetypes, here's the thing about love addiction. Love addiction does not present in the same way to everyone. So we know the general characteristics. So someone who is in love with the idea of love, someone who when they love someone, they love hard. It's hard for you to let go of someone, even when there may be trauma bonds and negative relationship patterns, even when there are consequences to y'all being in this relationship. All these are things that may become denominators between everyone who has related to the symptoms of love addiction. However, the pattern that you do more than others may look differently, because some of us are love addicts and we've been single on paper for a long period of time. Some of us are really great when it comes to our romantic relationships, but when it comes to family and friendship relationships, that is where we don't have any boundaries. Some of us have been technically single on paper for a long time, not only physically, but really we may be in our head a lot. And so we build a lot of fantasy when it comes to love addiction. So I'm going to be talking about the four different archetypes. I think there's going to be four, because that's usually how I teach it whenever I do my open houses. So we're going to talk about the four archetypes, and we're going to talk about where you need to be getting to on the other side of identifying where you are as a love addict, if it applies. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So, love addiction is the persistent obsession of a person, a relationship, or the fantasy of a person, a relationship, and mistaking that persistent obsession as love. This is different than just having a crush. This is different than just being in your feels, because when it comes to love addiction, it's not that we keep falling in love with the most romantic, healthy, available people, and we are serial monogamers in the best way, and there are no consequences. You know, some of us may know those people, or maybe you are one of those people. You saw this podcast title and it piqued your interest. But I know for sure I had several friends who they may have been serial monogamers, but they kept finding partners that cherished them. They kept finding the partners that worshiped the ground that they walked on. They were handsome men. They were men that were self-accountable, that loved themselves, that loved other people. There were no red flags. There was no secret abuse, right? But somehow these are friends that continued just to find great partners. And the reason it didn't work out was just because they may have wanted different things or had different values in some places. But these men will leave my friends better than they found them. And so for them, yeah, some people might say that they could have been single in between, but it wasn't really hurting their sense of self. They were still very confident, strong women who knew themselves, which is probably why they also attracted partners who were strong, confident people who knew themselves as well. However, when you're a love addict and you are related to the things that we talk about here, the relationships you bounce between don't quite leave you better than you found them. In fact, you might leave them better than you found them. You know, they may be emotionally more healthy. They may be financially more solvent. They may be more aware of their mistakes and bad behavior so that they can bring it to the next relationship, bring all that insight to the next one. But you're the one who's having to recover, to heal, to nurse wounds, to get over trust issues, right? And so that's what we want to break. We want to make sure that the relationships that you choose, whether or not they are friendship, romantic, or even the relationships within your family, right? The people you choose to get closer to and the boundaries you have or don't have, we want to make sure that you're choosing ones that make you better, right? And so love addiction is when we will romanticize red flags in people and think that we are seeing the best in them, giving them the benefit of the doubt, not wanting to be judgmental, not wanting to be mean, wanting to be kind because we're kind people. And I'm going to talk about that more when I get into the archetypes. But we need to understand, before I get into the different types, to be clear, you can be kind, loving, compassionate, and honest. You can see someone for what they're available to give and who they are, and also hold your own self accountable for your own behaviors to know that you're worthy of having a certain type of relationship and a certain type of person. That doesn't mean you're judging them. In fact, you might be seeing them with the best light because you're not trying to put something on them that they're telling you or showing you that they're not able to give. Like, that's a really unfair place to be. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew, either because someone was telling you or implying, that they wanted you to be something different? When we treat people in that way, that's what we're giving to them. We think that we're trying to make them be their best version of themselves, but that's actually offensive. It's offensive when you meet someone or befriend someone or you're in a relationship with them and they have a whole long list of the things that you have to do to improve when you didn't ask for it. It'd be different if they said, you know what, I want to be friends with you. I want to be with you. Whatever you need me to do, I will do it because you are so precious to me and I don't want to lose you. Then in that case, get out your pen and paper, get out your notes app, write it on down and send it over. You know, get a Google Doc, make it a checklist, and send them your requirement statement. But if no one's asked you for that, you're not helping people by giving them advice that was not asked for. They can find the people that fit for them with what they are available to give, just like you can find the people who are available to give you what you want. But I digress. Let's talk about these archetypes. So the first archetype I'm going to talk about is the hopeless romantic. If you've ever heard me teach this before or come to an open house, this may sound familiar. If you come to an open house in the future, these are the type of things that I'm going to be talking about when I talk about all of the different archetypes of love addiction, love avoidance, and love deprivation. So you're getting a little bit of a sneak preview. So the hopeless romantic is someone, like I said before, who's in love with the idea of love. She wants the fairy tale, the happily ever after, to be swept away and to low-key kind of be saved by the relationship that she's in. So whether or not the saving is a full embodiment of helping save her from herself, some of us, we just want to be saved from the streets. We want to be saved from this dating process. We're just ready to find our person, right? So it's not that you are hyper codependent and you don't know yourself, but it's just, you know, sometimes being in the ups and downs of love and life and doing it without romantic companionship can feel kind of lonely. And I did intentionally qualify romantic companionship because companionship comes in all forms. It's a choice, y'all. It's a choice if the only form of companionship that we have is always romantic. This is not me knocking that it's, especially as an adult, if you have not already come in with a group of friends or if you struggle with social anxiety and knowing how to put yourself out there and meet people and knowing where and how to find the right people in your life. Absolutely, finding adult companionship and friendship can be a struggle for sure. But if you put all of your eggs only in finding romantic partnership as your companionship and you don't put the same amount of effort into finding your friendships, right? Swiping on friendship apps, going to meetups, reaching out to people, asking people out, all that stuff, then you're kind of limiting yourself, right? So we want to make sure that we are, this is just a side note, of course, because we're talking about the archetypes, but if you're looking for people to do life with, don't only look for a life partner, because for many of us, our soulmates are going to be our sisters. Our soulmates are going to be our chosen family. And the people that we will partner with will be our life partners, and they will be our soulmates in a different way. Okay. But yes, the hopeless romantic loves love. Now, I didn't give this qualifier at the beginning, but so let me give this now. Every single one of these archetypes, I think, are beautiful. I think they are all really positive examples of showing up in the world because they all exemplify a really healthy trait. The problem is that that healthy trait will be used in excess without any limits, without really any discernment, to the point that it starts to create consequences. So with the hopeless romantic, the desire, the quality that I think is beautiful that's really underneath this is this desire to be loved, to be adored, to be cherished, to be treasured, right? To have someone who prioritizes you and for you to be that same person for them as well, that you see them as a precious jewel, that you're the one who wants to love on them, to support them, to be there for them, to be faithful to the end, right? These are things that are qualities in healthy relationships. However, for a love addict, she will do that with someone who is dangerous for her emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually, financially, spiritually, right? And she will romanticize or ignore the red flags. She will use, when we think about the love addict who's a hopeless romantic, who kind of lives in this fairy tale land or wants to have the story, like she wants to have the nice story that she can tell other people. I remember for me, for a long time, I didn't want to do dating apps because I was like, no, I want a story. I want that we met in the grocery store. I want something else. Like, I needed to have something that was as sweeping and as grand as what I had created in my head from the time I was a little girl in order for me to feel safe. And that's not me saying that we cannot have the standards of what we want our story to look like. I'm saying, what are you willing to give up in order to get that story? And what are you willing to ignore to get that story? That's where the concern comes in at. But anyways, so with someone wanting a story, they will see something that might be a big glaring red flag to everybody else or even to them. You know, if their friend was in the same situation, they would tell him, her, or them to run. But when it comes to her, this red flag, this inconvenience, this mismatch and incompatibility is almost seen as like the dragon that you get to slay together, you know? So their difficulty opening up with their emotions. They're a mother who struggles with boundaries and is really intrusive, right? They're living on the other side of the world and they don't really want to talk on the phone as well. You know, like all these things are just really great hurdles and problems that y'all get to work through together. And, you know, you'll be stronger on the other side of it. And so the fights are really hard, but then the making up feels even more deeper and more passionate until it's not, until it's just painful, until the relief that you have after slaying these quote-unquote dragons is no longer the big adventure you thought it was. And even more so, you find out that you're the one who's doing more of the emotional labor to kill these dragons, to slay them, to find solutions for them, and your partner's just along for the ride if they're not sabotaging the process altogether. So to be a hopeless romantic, we want to make sure that we are giving all of our love and our heart to people who are mutually there, who are mutually receptive to the love that we're giving. Already mentioned, but in case this is your first time hearing the podcast, or you've only listened to podcasts that I have not mentioned this in, I wrote a book called How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, where I break this down so clearly for you. The 20 qualities of love availability, the 20 qualities of love unavailability, and also how can you scale and rate people. This is not. Just a someone who's nice and someone who respects you. These are the most common things that people do not have on their list, if they do have a list, and also the things that are nuanced for people who struggle with intimacy disorders, for you just to know who foundationally is safe for you as a friend, as a lover, as a partner, as a family member, as a business colleague, and then what to do depending on how they are showing up, how you can become more available to yourself, how you can make friends and put yourself out there. I do social dancing here in Houston. And one of my friends, he found out that I wrote a book because I guess I live a secret life in real life than I do here on the internet. And he was like, you wrote a book? I'm like, God. He was like, tell me about it. And like every time we would be around other people, he would tell people, she wrote a book. And he is not my target clientele at all. He is not a millennial professional woman who is, you know, like that's not who he is, right? So he bought the book in order, like in efforts to be supportive for me, which I thought was really amazing. Come to find out, He had his own relationship crush situation that was putting him through hell on the other side of it. I didn't know anything about it. But yeah, like it was putting him through the ringer. And he just read my book again, just trying to be supportive. And he sends me a message. He's like, Sheena, this book has changed my life. Thank you so much for this. This has helped me so much. And it's given me so much clarity. So if you struggle with knowing and attracting the right people and finding people, again, in every corner of your life, like your relationships tend to keep being on fire, or you just keep kind of pressing through and just going ho-hum with just knowing people but not ever really going deep, I really suggest that you find those, get that book so that you can learn how to move your relationships deeper, closer. And also, there's sections in there for you to look at yourself. Are you being a good friend to people? Are you being available? So again, that's called How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts by Sheena Lachey. It is now not only on Amazon, it's at Barnes & Noble as well and all your other favorite booksellers. So in case you're boycotting, got you covered. So there is that. All right, the second archetype is the serial monogamer. So my serial monogamers are my people who are consistently in relationships back to back. Even if you have a break, it's a very short break. So maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. And even then, that break, you have been talking to, if not the person you end up being in a long-term relationship with, you have other suitors and people. This does not mean that you're going out looking for people. You might be someone that people just find you, that there's just always people around. You cannot help it that you are that girl, right? Like this might be your experience. And I'm saying that honestly, I'm saying that is the experience of many people in this world. That is just something that you might find yourself falling into often. I want to say a couple of things though about serial monogamy and why it's under this realm of love addiction. Even though there are healthy examples of it, I'm going to talk about the love addict subsection of that, right? So this isn't saying everyone who has, you know, you went from a high school boyfriend and then you had a college boyfriend and then you end up meeting your husband. That is not to say that you are a love addict and you don't know yourself and you struggle with being alone and all these other things. It could mean that, but if that doesn't apply, let it fly, right? But for those of us who, when you imagine this has been your experience and when you imagine taking an extended break from being in relationships, something is amiss. You feel anxious. You have a ticking time clock in your head for whatever reason, whether or not it's related to children or whether or not it's related to, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go if I don't have a partner to go with me? Life is just a little bit more fun when I have a romantic partner, which circles back to what I was saying at the beginning, that if your only source for companionship is only romantic partners, we are idolizing romantic partnership. My goal, in case you don't know, y'all, is to make sure every single person who listens to this podcast is in relationships where they feel loved and cherished, whatever that looks like, whether or not that is romantic or whether or not it's friendship or not. But if you want romantic partnership, I have almost 300 episodes now where I talk about this because I want to make sure you don't get got. And I want to make sure that you know how and where to show up and find the relationships that you want. But by finding yourself, that we get out of this pattern of thinking that there's going to be a relationship that truly completes us. Because not to say, look, here's the thing. People who are deeply in love will tell you that their partners meet a place in their heart and in their life that they didn't know was possible to be met. That is true. That is real. And that may be a part of their heart and their life that they didn't think that could be filled and touched, but that did not replace the relationship with themselves. If anything, the more you know yourself, the more you can let yourself go to be your full authentic self with your person, with your partner. So the road to that love and to being able to rest in that love is still connecting to you, is still loving you, is still being your biggest fan. And then your partner is your biggest fan too. And now you got a whole big old fan club and you get to be their biggest fan. Romantic love is not a replacement for self-love. That's what I really want to communicate when I'm talking about this, is your relationship with yourself is always going to be your biggest priority because you're the one who's in charge of loving you. And showing, modeling, requesting, teaching, correcting other people if they are not loving you in the way that you need and desire. And so you're the one who's the captain of that ship. So when it comes to serial monogamy, though, and the way it could be with love addiction is not only, like I said, if there are times that you imagine being single and it's very triggering to you, but I also talk about how in this day and age, there are many of us who are serial monogamous who have technically been single on paper for years, but we have been in consistent relationships. So in our current culture, it is very much approved and celebrated for us to have little teens on the side, little side pieces, people in our DMs, people that we're talking to, unofficial with, just to pass the time, just to take us to dinner, just to hang out, who's just a homeboy, but there may be some romantic vibes. And it doesn't have to be mutual. It could be that you know that they like you. You can know that they want to send you money, take you out to dinner, praising you and giving you all these compliments in your DMs and responding to your thirst traps and all that other stuff. And here is where you can see if this is related to love addiction, because there's nothing wrong with enjoying attention and enjoying companionship and living your life and being free and being grown. Live your life. Is when or if that happens, because you're using these people, these relationships, this attention as a self-soothing mechanism, either the main one or the only one, for any time you're in emotional distress. So if you're feeling insecure, if you're having a bad day and feeling anxious, if someone has triggered you and hurt your feelings, now all of a sudden this person that you've left on read in your texts or in your DMs for a long time, now you're like, you know what? I'm bored. Let me see what he's up to. Which you may not have the connection that that boredom is actually you're emotionally looking for some comfort. You're looking for something familiar. You're looking for something that is going to get your mind off the emotional pain that you're feeling so that you don't have to deal with it. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BJH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. So I know this might not be the case everywhere, but here in Houston, it's already starting to get really warm. Those Texas summers start very early for us. And with the type of summers we have here, we cannot have too many layers, and we have to make sure that our clothes are comfortable, breathable, and still help us feel put together. And the Skims Fit Everybody collection has been the perfect set of undergarments to have under my preliminary sundresses, short sets, and outfits that I've been rocking as we've been going to outdoor picnics, parks, brunches, and everywhere in between. They keep me so comfy and cool underneath my favorite outfits seamlessly. I have multiple shades of my favorite pieces, so it's so great to be able to switch them out depending on the cut, depending on the mood and the need. And they are always super lightweight, which makes it the perfect choice no matter where I'm going. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X, and you can shop now at skims.com and Skims stores. After you place your order, make sure you let them know that I sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently, I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health.
If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. And whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
And so when we're looking at love addiction in any form, is are we using relationships, the fantasy of a relationship or a person, to replace our own emotional care, our own emotional comfort? Because that's what makes us stay attached to people longer than we need to. Like if this is some random person that really doesn't, that I don't really need for anything, if or when they act up, it's going to be easier for me to let them go. But if this person has become the gateway to where when I'm stressed, you're my stress reliever. When I need a laugh, you're the person that makes me laugh. When I'm feeling alone, you're my comfort, right? Like even when you start acting up, it's going to be very hard for me to let you go, if at all, or until I find a replacement. Hello, serial monogamy. It's going to be very hard for me to let that go, that experience go, because I need it, even if I don't realize that that's what I'm using it for, which is why I'm posting this episode, so that if there's any of us who are doing that, that we can be aware of it. And also, I really encourage my clients to pay attention to this and not do this as much as you can. I mean, we're going to do it. We're going to do what we want to do. Because we have to learn, but this is how so many of us end up in situationships, because we started talking to someone and kept someone around that wasn't really what we wanted, that may have gave us the ick a little bit, that may have kind of got on our nerves, but the longer we spent time with them, the more that we laughed with them, the more that we let them take care of us, or we took care of them, because some of us are the caretakers, and this person was a project. And we were like, well, I can just be their friend because I don't want anything from them because they're not who I want or what I want. And then lo and behold, you then caught some feelings and now you're in love, right? I really suggest for people to not stay connected to people who have given off red, yellow, orange, purple flags, right? Pink flags, any kind of flags, anything other than green, bright green, leprechaun green. It's time for us to reevaluate our relationships. And it doesn't mean, again, judging them. It doesn't mean that you stop talking to them and cut them off and block them. It just means that we appropriately place people in the level of connection that they should have access to, right? If someone is slightly dangerous, I'm not going to keep them near my inner circle just because I'm trying to be nice or because I want to be an example of love and kindness and friendship to this person who has really had bad examples for love. Now, he can go watch the Cosby Show on repeat like I did as a child. And then he can upgrade to getting a therapist. He can also go talk to his pastor. He can do his own personal work to find his pathway, to find that relief. I am not volunteering as tribute. And so many of us have been playing Hunger Games with our hearts and with our lives, and we have nothing to show for it. So if you're someone who has found yourself just consistently in the partnerships or in situationships, I suggest for you to check out my masterclass about 4 steps to break out of situationships and get the relationships you want this year. It is free. You can check it out at blackgirlsheal.org/masterclass. I go over a lot of these archetypes, a lot of things I'm talking about here, but also give you that 4-step method and talk about how I help clients heal on the other side of it as well, too. Okay, so you can check that out at any time. Okay, so now let's talk about the third type of love addict is the codependent. So the codependent struggles with feeling okay if other people are not okay. She needs to rescue, she needs to save, she needs to make it better, she needs to help out, she needs to counsel, she needs to lend, she needs to cancel her plans, she needs to say yes. She needs to say no to herself if it's going to make other people feel happy. Sometimes you get to this place because you were praised for learning how to self-abandon. Sometimes you get to this place because the positive quality for codependence is that you are generous. You're generous. You're empathic. You are a giver. And this is something you don't want to get rid of. I just realized I didn't say the positive quality for the serial monogamer, because like I said, all these archetypes have really great qualities underneath. So the Sarah Monogamer, girl, you're faithful. You are loyal. You're someone who really knows how to do relationships and you're in it for the long haul. Even for the folks who like maybe keeping people on the sidelines, you know, like you're technically not a serial monogamer, but you have people overlapping and giving you validation and praise that you're using for emotional support. Most of you are doing that. And these people are on the side because you actually know how important relationships are, know how important your heart is. You know, if you fall into a situation or something like that, it's not because you want to, it's just happenstance. You weren't looking for it, you know? But you take relationships really seriously. You want the next relationship or relationships that you're in to be in it for the long haul and with people who are worth it, right? So you have a lot of wisdom. You have a whole lot of discernment, girl. And I think that's really amazing. But going back to the codependent, so you're generous and you're thoughtful and you're loving. And that thing that I was saying before about you wanting to make sure that you're not judging a book by its cover. And, you know, you may meet someone that everyone has something to say about and people have discounted, but you just believe just to see where people could be and see their potential. And you try your best to not do it in the Bob the Builder way. You know, you meet someone and you're trying to make them be something that they're not. Like, you really think you're just dusting a little bit of the dirt off their shoulder and helping them see who they are. But the problem with the codependent is in a room of 100 people, you're going to find the one person that's going to say all the words that they want to get better. They're going to say that they want to get help, but they are people who don't know how to help themselves. They're going to be the takers and they're never going to give. They are not going to be grateful for all that you give. They are going to feel entitled. Or they will express gratitude, but there's never going to be end to the amount of time, energy, love, connection, sex, money, spirit, counsel that you give this person to where they ever end up standing on their feet. And because it feels so good at first to give, it feels so good to be there for them. It feels so good to save them and get them out of the pickle that they're in. And they may give you all that praise as well. You kind of get addicted to that. You know, it feels very good to be needed. It feels so good to belong. And in these types of relationships, you give both of those. Both of those are there and they're available for you. But you're in connection with people who cannot, will not, or sometimes they just plain don't want to give back to you. And so you may spend, depending on the last, like let's say it's the last one where they don't want to. Some people don't want to, and the way that they're going to show that they don't want to is that they're going to keep faking helplessness and incompetence. And I just don't know how, and I really want to try, and I'm so sorry, and you know, I'll do better, but they don't do better. And they will milk your sensitivity and your patience and your grace to keep getting chances and chances and chances. And then other people will just straight up tell you they don't want to, or they'll pick fights with you, or they will do the opposite and they'll sabotage what you're asking for. But you stay in connection with them because remember, love addiction is where you're attached to someone and because of this need. I need this person for companionship. I put so much into this relationship. I put so much into this friendship. They're my family. I need them to be okay. I need them to be better, right? Versus what do you need? What are you losing by giving so much of your time, your energy, your labor, your sleep, your prayers to this that's not really getting better? How is this affecting you? You think that getting the situation and getting them better is going to help you versus you getting you better. But because you're attached to them, instead of you letting go, you start fighting with them. You fight with them. You tell them, this is what I'm saying. You know, I just asked you for something small. You couldn't do this for me. You go and talk to your girlfriends about it. You give them ultimatums. You say you're going to go, but you don't go. If you do go, you go for a little bit until they can just come back around and say sorry. Or they don't come back around and say sorry and you get mad and you send them an I just think it's funny text, or you show up where they are, you know, to like be in their space and to start the fight again. You know, like it's the cycle that just never gets better. And we have to be the ones to understand that we're the ones who are guiding the ship. We're the ones driving the car. And even though we may have had a passenger that's been trying to jump out the car, we need to let them. We need to let them. If they jump in front of the car, then oops, like they need to go and do something better than play in traffic. It is up to us to be the ones who guide ourselves to where we need to go. I'm not advocating for us to run over people, by the way. Let me say that. But I hope y'all get what I mean by that metaphor. Like, you're the one who's in charge of who has access to you. Okay. And then the last archetype that we're going to talk about today is the fantasizer. The fantasizer is someone who may live in their head with their ideal type of love and relationships, a lot of daydreaming. People talk about maladaptive daydreaming. Some of us, the daydreaming and the fantasy started very early. It is a very common experience for those of us who don't know, who haven't ever heard of this before. I'm about to tell some of our business, but some of us, the way we went to sleep at night was by creating these fantasies and creating these stories and creating these fairy tales. We may have had certain stories and books and things that were very near and dear to us. In our current age right now, where romantic books and romanticy books are all the rage, some of us have gotten like very good socially approved outlets for it. But here's the thing again, y'all. All of this has positive qualities. This is not me villainizing any of this. Is when am I using this in excess to satisfy or to soothe an unmet need? And that unmet need is actually getting worse. Like the pain, the ache underneath it is actually not getting better. So I need more and more of this. And it's actually pushing me away, further away from my goals. So when I talk about the fantasizer, I usually talk about how you're very good at creating your own world in your head. And it doesn't stop you from wanting this type of life in the real world. But if anything, because you created this fantasy life, it stops you from actually going out and getting what you want. It actually is your own biggest buffer to putting yourself out there. And sometimes it's because of fear of rejection, but a lot of times it's just comfort, complacency, not knowing how, but then also you don't need to know how because you have your brain, or you may have your books, or you may have some other things. And if you are okay with where things are, if you're content with that, then again, if this doesn't apply, let it slide. This archetype is only for people who can relate to that part that I just said. You have all these fantasies and things that help keep you safe at night, safe during the day, help bring you comfort, but you still want this to happen and manifest in real life. But it's hard for you to go out for it because you have this thing you're partaking in, like this thing on the side that's taking away from you actually taking action, right? So we need to look at how can we do both? How can we have an active imagination and fantasy life and safety within your head to get what you want, but also help you put in some movement in real life to have heaven here on earth if you can, right? Let's try to get you your deepest desires in real life so that it doesn't only exist in places that don't exist. If that's what you want, if that's not what you want, again, let this example pass. I really am a believer that people can choose what works for them as long as it works for them. When it doesn't work for you, then we got to be honest about, okay, what is this giving me and what is it taking away? And what can I do to find that sweet balance between if there is one, or how can I reduce the impact that one way that I've been finding solace in this world, this one way that I've been finding safety is kind of overtaking my life and taking away the life that I've been trying to build? How can I get back in line with where I wanted to go in the first place? Okay. So with all that said, what you're seeking to get to, where you're wanting to go as a love addict, is instead of you being love addicted, you want to be love balanced. This is part of my Healed and Love Woman framework. There are multiple episodes here on the podcast where I break down the framework. And then I talk about the pathway of going from love addicted to love balanced, love avoidant to love available, and love deprived to feeling love nourished. And so you can check out those episodes here in the archives. And I'll probably publish, because I haven't talked about the framework in a long time, I'll probably publish another one later this year, maybe even this summer. But yeah, we want to be able to be in a place where we can balance love for ourselves and love for others. We don't have to choose. You know, I've been teaching a lot. You know, I launched a course about healing childhood emotional neglect. I didn't talk about it as much on the podcast. I really talked about it more on social media, and especially in the email, on our email list, just because I had already had the podcast episodes planned and it just didn't make sense to move everything around. So that's why it's so important that you follow me on social media and that you're on our newsletter list. And if you're on my newsletter list, to make sure that you're, you know, paying attention to the things that are being announced, because I know a lot of you love, love, love when I talk about childhood emotional neglect. And so I launched a mini program that just talks about healing that ache, that dull, ongoing chronic ache of never quite feeling enough, of not ever feeling like something is missing. And if you're still for too long, if you get in a certain relationship that doesn't work out, that ache comes back. And childhood emotional neglect is one of the indicators of that. If you had a relationship with your parents where it wasn't about the things that they did, but the things that didn't happen, the love, comfort, and care that you didn't happen, that's where that comes from. And so love addiction is really about that ache. It's really about you are trying to heal an ache, and you are mistaking that if a certain relationship, situation, fairy tale, fantasy is big enough and rich enough and deep enough and long enough and consistent enough, that is going to get rid of that ache. But there's two problems with that. One, if you do happen to partner with the person or situation that is that answered prayer, it's going to be very hard for you to receive it and to rest in it because you've had a lifetime of being disappointed by love, of actually not being able to feel safe. This is where you can be in a relationship with someone and constantly be like, well, are you sure you really like me? Are you sure you really care about me? Are you sure you really think I'm pretty? Are you sure you think I'm good enough? Are you sure you're not going to change your mind? Right? You never quite feel safe because that ache started before they even came around. And so, yes, thank God you have your person, right? Thank God you got that answer to the prayer, but it didn't fix what you thought it would fix. So that's why we have to heal that ache. The other one is, if it's not a person that's healthy for you, you keep finding people who are going to keep reinforcing that ache. So you keep getting that same story over and over again because that's what's normal for you, is what's familiar, is why you won't see the red flags, but your friends will, your therapist will, your homeboy will, other people will see it, but you won't. And you may get defensive of it. You may shut down. You might start to only tell the good parts of the relationship because you don't want them to think anything bad about your partner, or you don't want them to think anything bad about you because you know how it sounds. You know how it sounds. You know how it looks, right? So now you have the ache that started before them that you thought this relationship would fix. And then you have the ache of what it's like to be in this relationship. And you really want to fix it. In fact, you even invest more and more and more to try to fix this relationship because now it's not just about them. It's not just about the partnership. It's about this pain that started way before them as well. So we want to get to a place where we are balanced, y'all, to where we don't leave and abandon ourselves for other people. And also that we don't think that to love and to be in relationships is a bad thing. And it feels like right now we're in a chapter of this world where a lot of the teaching is you have to choose. If you choose to focus on relationships, that means you're centering men, because this is mostly what people say to women who are straight or women who date men. You're centering men and you're making your whole life about them. And so it's almost like for some people, it's kind of like a secret thing for you to want to say out loud that you want to date and find your person, right? Like you're looked at as if you're not mature, as if you're not evolved, as if you don't really know yourself. It's really interesting how the times have changed, because that's a very different energy than it was about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, people think that if you want to have a partnership, that means you're automatically, by doing that, that means you don't know yourself. That means you don't have friends. It means you don't have hobbies. And if anything, there are so many amazing women who have all those things. And it's like, I want to be able to have these things and enjoy them with somebody else. It ain't the same. And I think that's okay to say. And I also don't think that you have to, for the sake of being in a relationship, deny everything you need and settle, right? I don't think you need to put yourself in dangerous situations emotionally, mentally, spiritually, just to have somebody near. I don't think you have to choose. I think you get to have balance. And it's about finding that balance and finding safety and joy and pleasure in that balance so that you attract more joy and pleasure and people who treat you like the queen that you are, because you're treating yourself like the queen that you are, and you're feeling easy in love, and you feel easy in relationships because you treat your life in a very easy way, and you feel relaxed with yourself in an easy way, right? And so that's what we want to do. We want you to take all those positive qualities of those four archetypes and let that be your truth, but not lose yourself on the other side if you're wanting to be open to romantic or friendship or even familial love by denying yourself. So hopefully that makes sense. I gave y'all so many tools today. I talked about the How to Pick Partners book that you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's or your favorite bookseller's website. I talked about the free masterclass, the 4-step method to get out of situationships this year that you can find at blackgirlsheal.org/masterclass. I'm going to give you one more in case you like these archetypes. It is free as well. It's the free 5-step roadmap to break the cycle of love addiction. And I have the 5-step roadmap for love addiction, for love avoidance and love deprivation, and a whole list of roadblocks to avoid as well as you're breaking this cycle. Okay, so you'll get that email to you if you go to blackgirlsheal.org/roadmap. If you download the roadmap, it also automatically adds you to my newsletter so you won't miss any updates or any new things that are coming through or events or programs or tips or tools or anything that I send out. Okay, so that's it. I'm sending you all so much love, and I hope that you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.